You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who always does the most, and I hope you guys are having a wonderful Wednesday, April 14th, as the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday played probably the wackiest, craziest game you might see in all of 2021 as they defeated the San Diego Padres 8-4 to move to 4-7 on the season. And if we're going to go ahead and talk about this game for a minute, yes, it was a very interesting game. Blake Snell got pulled in the first inning yesterday of the 8-4 victory. It was a very interesting game, just in the pure fact of the amount of things that were going on in the actual game itself. First of all, for all of everybody, whoever side of the coin on the pace of play thing that you're on, well, if you're on the side of you want the game to be quicker, this game was not your game. 4 hours and 7 minutes long was how long this game was. It felt more like a marathon rather than a sprint. And not only that, but you had about like a gazillion mound visits in this game. I think it was about 8 or 9 mound visits at one point. And this included 17 walks. And this is combined stats, by the way, not like from one team, but 17 walks, 7 hit batters, and 27 runners on base. So in a game that finished 8-4, 27 runners were left on base in this game. That's something I've said the Pirates have struggled with this entire year so far through the first 11 games. And it kind of happened again, but it was a lot more on the Padres side of things. We saw that with Kyle Crick getting out of that bases loaded jam in the 8th inning that really ended up winning the Pirates this game, which was very nice to see. I mean, it was very nice for the Pirates to pick up this victory. They got a win against one of the NL's best teams and one of the best teams in baseball. And even Jacob Stallings said it was weird, that's all I got for you. And I mean, I'm right there with Jacob Stallings. I did not know what was going on in this game for a lot of the time. And Pirates manager Derek Shelton also had this to say: that was not the cleanest game we're going to play all year long. Sometimes you just have to win ugly, and tonight we won ugly. And this was on the mat, and this was on like the Padres on a 4-game win streak. Like, this is not like the Padres are like having a bad go of things right now. They've won 8 of their first 12 games. And I mean, the game was just very sloppy, but the Pirates pulled the win out. And in games that you think are sloppy, you really wouldn't think this Pirates team would win these games. And again, you've had people say that this could possibly be the worst team of all time. And I have this to say about that. The Pittsburgh Pirates right now are 4-7. I get it. If they had that same exact record over their next 11 games, they would be 8-14. Which, okay, cool. Like, that 8-14, right? So you keep moving that number up, they would be then 12-21, and they would keep falling down that rabbit hole. But you have to also keep in mind that Ke'Bryan Hayes, who is arguably, if not, the best player on this team already, is not in this lineup. The pitching staff is not good, but it's not been terrible either. And yesterday's game wasn't an indication of that at all. Both teams just did not pitch the baseball well at all, especially when you walk that many batters in one game. But this team has the makings of being a team that's gritty, a team that really decides who wins the NL Central, and a team that, no, they're not going to flirt with being 500, but they're not. I will say this right now. I do not think this team loses 100 games. I just don't. I don't think the NL Central has that many strong teams other than, I mean, all the teams above the Pirates have a chance to win that division, but I don't think any of those teams are just that much better than Pittsburgh. Like, they are. They are better teams, but they're not like the Dodgers and the Padres. Now, if you were to tell me the Pirates are in the NL West, or like divisions didn't matter, and they had to play like the NL West and the NL East more, then yes, I would say this team has the potential of being the worst team ever, but on a record standpoint, But you also have to keep in mind that the NL Central is arguably the worst division in baseball this year, maybe outside of the AL Central. But for me, I'm just taking the positives where I can find them, and a win is a win. And, I mean, yes, it was an ugly win, but they still found a way to do it. And some of the highlights of this game, too, individually, Jacob Stallings had a really good game with three hits. Eric Gonzalez had a good game with three hits. And for the Pirates, again, if they want to win tonight against former Pittsburgh Pirate Joe Musgrove, who's coming off of the first no-hitter in San Diego Padres history, shout out to Sully Baseball for predicting that. You have to really look at what is going to happen in this game. Is a lot of these games I predicted to be kind of defensive games. And first, like for the first two, the winner of the game had more than six runs. The Padres won 6-2 on Monday. Pirates won 8-4 in this game. And again, there was warnings also. This game here tonight against Joe Musgrove has a really big chance of getting very, very, very temper flary, if that makes sense. Because, I mean, yesterday you saw what was going on. I mean, umpires had to warn both teams in the eighth inning. All the batters were being hit. And whoever thought Phillip Evans would be the guy that you target with malice towards the other team going into this year. But either way, I mean, this has been a very fun series already. Like, both teams have picked up a win in the first two games. Both teams have shown their strengths and weaknesses. The Pirates, of course, having more weaknesses than the Padres. And you look into tonight, again, Joe Musgrove comes onto the mound. We've already seen Keone Kella. And even Mark Melancon could get a chance to come back in his Pittsburgh and come back in Pittsburgh as well. And we'll see what happens. I mean, Will Myers also left in the game yesterday, which was kind of unfortunate for San Diego Padres fans. Tommy Pham got hit in the helmet and still stayed in the game. Tommy Pham has been kind of like an enigma in Padres Twitter, according to Javier Reyes, as he's just not really been hitting the baseball well. He's kind of their Gregory Polanco. And Tyler Anderson gets the start tonight. And Tyler Anderson, albeit with two losses under his belt, has actually done pretty well. And he's 3-2 with a 2.61 ERA against the Padres in his nine career games. Obviously, this is a very different Padres team to be facing, but I do think this game has the potential of being fun. It's not the rubber match because they do play tomorrow as well on Thursday in the afternoon. I will probably be recapping that Thursday game on my Thursday episode rather than uploading super early. I've kind of been uploading in the middle of the day, so I do apologize about that. But, like, I am trying to get them more in the morning. But for that specific game, I'm going to probably just recap the game and then preview the next series against the Milwaukee Brewers. And keys to victory tonight for the Pittsburgh Pirates, I guess, would have to be, I mean, just really find a way to get out to a hot start again. Not saying, like, get Joe Musgrove out in the first inning, but, like, if you can put one or two runs up in the first couple innings, they've been very good at doing that in the second inning lately. But if you can get some runs up, get an early lead, and then give Tyler Anderson a lead to work with, I think the Pirates have a really big chance of potentially pulling another game out of the series tonight. And I think that they really could be built for it, just like you should check out BuiltBar.com. Today's episode is brought to you by BuiltBar.com, the best protein bar on the market. 100% chocolate covered, high in fiber, high in protein. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your next order. And when we come back, we've been talking about them a lot, but I didn't even think about this until yesterday. Could Phillip Evans be the next Josh Harrison type player in Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh Pirates? And I will be right back. You tune into this podcast every day to hear everything about the Pittsburgh Pirates, but what do you need to know about everything else in sports? Well, find that on the Locked On Today podcast. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. And you guys remember Josh Harrison, right? One of my favorite players. I recently bought a Key Brian Hayes jersey. It's in the mail. My last jersey, as far as a baseball player, was actually Josh Harrison. Josh Harrison was one of my favorite players in Pittsburgh. He has since been with the Detroit Tigers, and I believe now the 33-year-old second baseman is with the Washington Nationals organization. But one thing that we all remember back with Josh Harrison in his lengthy time in Pittsburgh from 2011 to 2018 was the guy was just really fun to watch. I mean, his base running was absolutely amazing. His energy was absolutely amazing. But most importantly, he was a utility guy that was very, very important to the Pirates in those 2013 through 2015 runs. We remember in 2014, he had a 315 average in 143 games, 13 home runs and 52 RBIs. A couple years after those stints in 2017, he was also very good again, 16 home runs, 47 RBIs. And for Josh Harrison, one of his big things was he was just all over the field all the time. He was a third baseman sometimes. He was a second baseman sometimes. I don't think he ever really played the outfield. I don't remember him playing the outfield very much. It's also like kind of a while ago that he was really instilled in the Pirates' plans as a big player. But watching Philip Evans over these last like week and a half, he could really be that guy that whenever the Pirates start competing again, albeit he'll be in his 30s probably, but Philip Evans has a real chance to be the next Josh Harrison in Pittsburgh, especially if he keeps knocking the cover off the ball like he is right now. And I don't say that as saying like he's just Josh Harrison. He might be better. You never know. I mean, right now, the kid is batting .382, three home runs, and 34 at-bats with five RBIs, and he scored eight runs. It's pretty insane stuff. And I mean, again, as I've mentioned before when we've talked about him, none of this happens if Key Brian Hayes doesn't get injured. And sometimes that's how players break out. A guy like Key Brian Hayes gets injured, and the next thing you know, Philip Evans is taking his chance. Yermán Mercedes, the star player right now, or one of the young stars in Chicago right now for the White Sox, really doesn't get a big chance to play if a lot of their injuries don't happen, like Luis Robert or Eloy Jimenez. I can't remember which one was injured. I apologize for that. But Philip Evans, again, he has a real shot to potentially start playing in right field for the Pittsburgh Pirates after Hayes comes back, or even, I mean, I've flirted with this idea too. Kevin Newman was great in spring training. I mean, hell, he broke the spring training record for batting average. But it's also very apparent that he's not hitting the ball as well right now. And you really could see Philip Evans just be on the same side of the infield as Key Brian Hayes. And that's the beauty of having a utility guy that can also hit the baseball as well as he is right now, is you have to look into the idea that the Pittsburgh Pirates, this is a win-win situation. Because, yeah, you're going to get Key Brian Hayes back at some point, which I heard today that he was swinging a bat for the first time, and it was progress, and it was going very well. But the other part of it, and the other side of the coin, is whenever Hayes comes back, obviously Evans won't be playing third base or wherever he's playing anymore, but you can still find a way to fit him in the lineup. Now, if Philip Evans was just like a regular third baseman and couldn't play anywhere else, then you have a problem on your hands, because then Key Brian Hayes comes back, it's like, well, which one do you play? Do you ride the hot hand, or you like do what you have to do? And for me, I'm really excited to see what they end up doing. And I've also said Gregory Polanco, he's about done in Pittsburgh, I think, unless he really picks things up over the rest of the year. And again, it's still only 11 games in. We don't really know what Polanco is going to do over the next like 140-something games. But all signs point to him not doing that much. So I think the easiest decision, again, is to put Philip Evans in right field, bench Polanco, and then have Key Brian Hayes at third base whenever that comes back. Of course, we'll see what they do whenever he does come back. Key Brian Hayes' IL stint is supposed to end today. There are rumors that he will be put on the 10-day IL once again, as he's still progressing with that left wrist injury. But going back to Philip Evans again, is what, like, it's a lot of questions. Like, what is he going to be doing? Like, is he going to be just maybe a good bench bat? But do you really bench a guy that's hitting almost 400 right now? No, like, you just don't. I mean, in his career as a Pittsburgh Pirate, in his 45 plate appearances, not even counting this year, or counting this year as well, I mean, the kid has a 359, 444, 487 slash line in those 45 plate appearances. And last year we saw him, and it was like, okay, cool, but then he had his injury. So we didn't really get to see him fully, like, release himself until now. And, of course, what you have to think about is you also have another utility man who's playing pretty well in Wilmer Defoe. If that happens, do you basically make Evans a utility guy starter, and then you have a utility guy as your bench player in Wilmer Defoe? Again, another win-win. Of course, Defoe is not going to be here for a while, but having Evans on the roster is just a very, very good thing. And again, I go back to the Kevin Newman stuff, or again, when Hayes comes back, do you flirt with the idea of trading Adam Frazier again? Put Evans at second base, or put Newman at second base? I think this middle infield has struggled a lot, for what it's worth, and I mean, it is kind of an unfortunate ordeal, because after spring training, we were like, oh shit, like, this is going to be a really cool, like, middle infield, but it hasn't really amounted to much. And maybe you trade Adam Frazier and then stick Evans at second base, and that fixes all your problems. And, of course, trading guys is never fun, but what does Adam Frazier get back for you? You don't really know. There's a ton of middle infield players that other teams could be looking at before they look at Adam Frazier, especially in the trade market. And it's just all kind of that watch-and-go stuff for the Pirates this year. I mean, this team's not expected to win, but if you can keep finding pieces in the rebuild, I think they might have found one in Phillip Evans as the next Josh Harrison. Right now, I'd say, like, if you had to, like, coin that same era of players, Brian Reynolds is a very Starling Marte-ish kind of player. Like, not, like, the same kind of player, but just in the right mind where he's about, like, the second best player. He's a really good hitter. Ke'Bryan Hayes is the Andrew McCutchen. He's, like, in his rookie year, making his name felt. Obviously on the injured list right now, but he will make his name felt as things go on. And then, like, Jacob Stallings is, like, in that Russell Martin catcher role where he's going to get you hit some games, sometimes he won't. Colin Moran, much like Pedro Alvarez, is sometimes home run or bust, sometimes he's a good hitter. It just all depends. And then, I mean, you still have Polanco there, but it's like this team has all the pieces in place in a certain kind of way. They're just trying to find more pieces of that puzzle. It's like they found the four corner pieces of the puzzle. Now they just need to find, like, the rest of the puzzle. So they have, like, 5% of the puzzle done, but finding all the corner pieces is definitely a good part of it. It's like they have the border ready. They just had to fill in the picture. And, I mean, right now, again, if you had to ask me who's going to be a part of this Pirates team over the next couple years, I think if Phillip Evans keeps it up, he will be. Brian Reynolds definitely will be. There's a strong possibility Colin Moran will be, even with the emergence of Mason Martin over the next couple years. But everything else, like, and Ke'Bryan Hayes and Mitch Keller, and maybe even Jacob Stallings as a good catcher, but everything else is still up in the air. But if you could keep finding pieces like Luis Oviedo, David Bednar, Dwayne Underwood Jr. in the bullpen, maybe even a JT Brubaker or a Cody Ponce once he gets healthy. You never know. The Pirates have plenty of stuff going on right now to where they can figure things out as the season progresses. They are not in a rush, which is a good thing. They're not, like, rushing the rebuild. There's no expectations for this team to win, which is good. And you also have a Rookie of the Year candidate on your hands. And I still think people should bet on Ke'Bryan Hayes to win Rookie of the Year, just like you should check out betonline.ag. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKED15 for your 50% welcome bonus, meaning they will give you money for putting money into your account with your first deposit at betonline.ag. Make sure you let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network, especially Locked On Pirates, sent you. A waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to Locked On Pirates, everybody. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who always does the most. And a fun little question for what's going on is, can any of these Pittsburgh Pirates players be all-stars? And that's a very, 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 very big question, because you take most of the lineup. Adam Frazier, no. Kevin Newman, no. Dustin Fowler, no. Polanco, no. Eric Gonzalez, no. Anthony Alford, no. Wilmer Defoe, no. Michael Perez, no. And then any other pitching, no. So you look in, like I said, a lot of no's, and that was like most of the 26-man roster. And I would say there's about a couple guys that have a real chance. We'll start with Jacob Stallings. He's been in the Gold Glove conversation for the last couple years. And for Jacob Stallings, I mean, it's a possibility. I don't think he would start in the All-Star game, but it's a very big possibility if he can keep hitting the baseball like he is, along with his defensive prowess. So far for Stallings, 38 plate appearances, 30 at-bats, with a 333 average and 6 RBIs. Not bad. I mean, 474 on-base percentage, which I believe leads the team, and a 467 slugging. Actually doesn't lead the team. Phillip Evans leads it by .001. But Stallings has a real chance to do something awesome for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and that's be that defensive catcher, but also have that really good offensive firepower along with it. Now, he doesn't play tonight against the San Diego Padres. He does get a break, as Michael Perez will be behind the dish tonight for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But I think Jacob Stallings has a real chance to get there. Now, does he? I don't know. Probably not. There are a lot of good catchers in the National League. JT Realmuto comes to mind immediately. Tucker Barnhart, who won the Gold Glove last year, comes to mind. Other guys like that. So we'll see how that kind of transpires, but who knows. And then I'll move to Colin Moran. I mean, Colin Moran so far has 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, and a .297 batting average with a .409 on-base percentage. And Moran, I think there's too many first basemen that are really good for Moran to get there. But so far through these first 11 games, he's definitely filled the void in for former All-Star Josh Bell, who was traded this offseason to the Washington Nationals. And I like it. I mean, he looks like he's okay. He hasn't done too bad as a defensive first baseman, which was one of the big issues with Josh Bell. As we all knew, Bell was going to be a better DH last year, with the DH being a thing. But you have to keep in mind that Colin Moran, this is really like his first full year as saying, okay, I am the first baseman of the Pittsburgh Pirates. There is nobody that's going to really be playing first base other than maybe like a Phillip Evans or another utility player. But I really like it. I mean, I think Colin Moran could do it too if he keeps his stuff moving. Of course, now, like, these guys are not going to continuously keep hitting .297 and .333. They're just not. Like, it's not something that's going to happen too often. But there's a real possibility that it does. Phillip Evans, right now, I would say statistically, Phillip Evans has the best chance of doing it. And that's just because, I mean, the kid is literally hitting .382, .475, .706 slash with 3 home runs and 5 RBIs right now. I would say he easily has the best chance, especially considering his OPS is a 1.181 right now, which is just absolutely insane. And does he keep this up? We don't know. Baseball is a very funky sport. He could go from being .382 to being below .300 in a matter of a week if certain things happen. And the thing again about Evans is, would his all-star nod get messed up if he does eventually move back to the bench for Hayes? Yes, it's possible. Could Key Brian Hayes still be an all-star if he comes back and does really well? I don't think so. I think he's still more focused on Rookie of the Year, and then All-Star could be something we talk about next year. But I know some people did say, including myself, that I thought Ke Bryan Hayes could potentially be a Gold Glove candidate and a potential All-Star along with the Rookie of the Year conversation. But we'll see. And then Brian Reynolds, hitting over 300 again, like I predicted that he would. He's hitting 310, 370, 429, slashing with a 798 OPS. One home run, four RBIs, four walks in 46 plate appearances. So I think Reynolds, again, is the second best player on this team behind Ke Bryan Hayes. I think I will still stand firm on that. I definitely thought 2020 was a fluke year for him. But you also have to keep in mind who the outfielders in the National League are in terms of talking about being an All-Star. I mean, you have Juan Soto, Ronald Acuna, Will Myers could be in that in that conversation as well. Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger. There's a lot of good National League outfielders. Michael Conforto. So I don't think he could get there, but I definitely think he'd have a chance of getting votes if he continues hitting over 300. Now, of course, votes are going to probably go to guys like Juan Soto, Acuna, because they're probably just going to be better players. Well, I wouldn't even say probably. They will be better players. But Reynolds is another guy that would be pretty fun to see in there. I do think having like a utility position, I mean, I know they have the bench in the All-Star game, but I do think having a utility position would be kind of cool in the All-Star game, like for a guy that plays pretty much everywhere. Because there are some guys like that across Major League Baseball that can literally play at any given position and be like All-Stars. But we'll see. And going back to Philip Evans again, I mean, Josh Harrison was a two-time All-Star in Pittsburgh. It's very possible that Philip Evans could, like, crack that mold if he continues to hit the way he does, but we'll see. And to leave on a good note, the Pittsburgh Pirates do play tonight against former Pittsburgh Pirate Joe Musgrove and the San Diego Padres, looking to potentially take the series lead in the third game of four games. Could they do it? Who knows? Tyler Anderson is on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight as the game starts around the, like, time it's supposed to start yesterday, 6:35. And make sure you check me out on Twitter at LockedOnPirates or on my personal Twitter at MVP_Ethan. I will be back Thursday and Friday with podcasts for everyone to listen about everything about the Pittsburgh Pirates. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, April 14th, and thank you all so much.